You rode me to my knees. Maybe this is just a dream. Or is it what it seems? Everything beautiful, 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 beautiful. The light will shine.
Infectious, isn't it?
It is.
Billy Rogers tracked his newest one called, or latest one. Newest one. Who says newest one but a moron? Me. Billy Rogers with the track Running Blind. Has that whole 80s vibe to it and a little bit of those Bruce Springsteen harmonic kind of vibe going on. Maybe, just a smidge. Maybe. Bill, maybe. I dig it, though. Check him out. I have him and other artists on the Steel City Music Spotlight. I am just going to make up my own world, and I'm going to welcome you to it. I'm just going to make up various things, and you can go, what is with this guy? Spotify, 4 playlists I have up there so far. Just of various artists that have been spinning on the show, that sort of thing. A mixture of Hamilton and everyone else, so. Check it out if you can. And he is one of them. I had a chat with Dan. Yes, Dan. Well, you know Dan from the Carl Rundown Band. It wasn't Carl because there is no Carl. Yeah, I had to do the old pre-recorded Zoom chat. And when I fired it up, of course, the name came up, Amanda. It was Amanda or something like that. I'm like going, Amanda? That's what? And he's like, hi, this is Dan. I'm like, Dan, there's no Carl. And then I find out there is no Carl. Just no Carl. When the band started out, they were stuck for a name. They had to do a show, and they just had the Carl Rundown Band, and they just kept it, and this has been going on for years. Where are they out of, Gunner? Oh, so glad you asked, Gunner. They're an alternative rock band out of Innisfil, Ontario. They're made up of two lead singers, and they're actually a pretty tight band. I was listening to some of their other stuff, and I'm going, this is a good little band, man. Hopefully I get a chance to see them when they come down to the Hamilton area. It's not like I'm going to drive out to Barrie. Come on now. Don't be silly. I'm not that kind of guy anymore. But anyway, good chat with Dan. They're part of the Gus Palooza show that's happening in September. Google all that information up. Go to the show and go have some fun and go check out the Carl Rundown Band. So there you go. Here's the chat I had with Dan on Steel City Music. Here we go. Hey, you're listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith, and joining me right now is Dan from the Carl Rundown Band. And in my brain, I want to call him Carl. And on Zoom, because it's a pre-recorded chat, he's coming up as Amanda. Yeah. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this whole interview, buddy.
All right. Well, first of all, Jamie, thanks for having me. Thanks for the talk. It's nice to meet you. I am Dan Udy from the Carl Rundown Band. We're from Innisfil, Ontario.
Yeah.
And we're booked for Gussapalooza that's coming up in September. And really excited to be playing it. Our name, Carl Rundown Band, is we've been carrying that name for close to 10 years now.
Wow.
Since 2012 when we first started. We had all come from previous bands out of high school before that. So all of us in the band have been playing since we were kids. It was a play on names. The other fellow in my band, his name is Kyle Walkup, and we didn't have a band name, but we had a gig, and it was kind of like a fun name that we used to play at him, like Kyle Walkup, Carl Rundown, Walkup, Rundown,
right. Okay.
And we had no name at the time. This is 10 years ago. So we got introduced into a big show, the Carl Rundown Band, because it was already a joke, right? So it stuck.
Well, that makes total sense that you you might as well just stick with it. You guys are located out of the Innisfil area. You just said that you guys came out of two bands out of high school, that sort of thing. What type of music did you start out playing? I would assume as you guys were young, you just started out doing the cover thing.
Yeah, like hard rock, like grunge, kind of like the we all like started from the Seattle scene, kind of, right? Like 90s kids, so like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Green Day, that kind of stuff.
Sure, yeah. Which is all coming back again.
It's all still relevant, absolutely.
Yeah, but even the younger bands now, I just did an interview, I think, what was it, 4 or 5 days ago, with a band called Lucid Smog Disorder. Okay. And it was like they were like a page right out of early Green Day. It was just like from aesthetics to note for note, but their own music, but it was just like, wow, this could be Green Day's kids.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, well, Kyle was in a he was in a band called Fiend back in high school, and they wrote their own music.
Right.
And did a few covers, but mostly their own music. And I was in a band called Catching Fire, and we mostly had our own music as well and just did a couple covers. So we've always kind of been like more about our original stuff than about playing covers. I mean, the covers are great. They make us money. We take lots of gigs now and play covers, but that's like just to fuel our own passion project, which is our original stuff, right?
Which that all makes total sense. But you're from the Innisfil area, so I mean, yeah, sure, you have to do the cover gigs in, as you're starting out and playing that sort of thing, and they do bring in cash. But where do you guys end up playing? I mean, I know we're doing the Gussapalooza thing at the festival, but where does a band from that area to go and like do like small little tours, that sort of thing? Do you come down to the Toronto market? Like, where in Southern Ontario do you play?
We've made friends with all the restaurant owners, because that's where it's at now. Is people want to go out and they want to have some pub beer and some food, and they want to watch a good band play. That's kind of where live music is at now. Like, unless you're in the city, and then it's still like your bar scene where you're going into a place that doesn't serve food and just alcohol, and you're seeing like a couple of bands, right?
Right.
But typically those scenes, like, they're not really a sustainable way to make a living, like playing kind of shows, right? They don't really make a lot of money.
So you guys are constantly doing every weekend now that COVID's lifted. Yeah,
absolutely. And we did most through COVID as well. We played at the places that were still open, but like behind plexiglass and stuff, right?
What was that like for you?
It was doing what we had to do. We still kept gigging. I mean, we not quite as much, but we still had one or two here and there.
How did it work for you guys during COVID in the recording process of putting music out?
Well, recording was easy because we have our own studio. We're blessed because we built our own studio, so we can do a lot of stuff ourselves. But I don't know, for some reason the stuff we've got all these songs that are finished that we recorded during COVID, and we haven't released them yet. So we're kind of working on that, kind of just trying to bring this whole album together. We've been working on this latest album for quite a while, like basically since COVID started. So it's 2.5 years in now.
That's a long time to sit in something, eh?
It is. It's a long time, and it's a good album, and I can't wait to drop it. And we do have some stuff coming out soon. We're hoping to get our next single, Lend a Hand, out off of it by the time Gussapalooza comes around.
Right.
Um, we're working on the art and stuff, and we're doing a video shoot for it. So we might make it. There's a good chance we might.
Well, buddy, that's coming up in the beginning of September, is it not? 16, 17, 18th, yeah.
I know it's a quick release if we can finish, but we're almost there with the one, so.
Hey, if you're just tuning in now to Steel City Music, I'm your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith, and I'm talking to Dan from the Carl Rundown Band. They'll be performing at Gussapalooza in the Cookstown area, 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, well, somewhere along in there. I know I've said those dates so many times. I think it's, yeah.
Yeah, we're playing on Friday night at around 8 o'clock.
Around 8 o'clock, you'll be performing. Now, we were just talking about the thing with the album in regards to the studio that you have your own. How many tracks did you guys have? Like over this 2 years' time, you're plugging away at things. How many tracks did you have going in, and then how far have you pared it down?
We had 7 that are previously done, and we have 4 that we're just working on right now. 4 that we're still recording in the process of.
Okay, because sometimes a band will have like they'll go in with like, okay, well, we have these 22 songs, but we're only gonna put out 11. You know, and then it's the whole paring down thing, but you were having four.
That's what happened. That's totally what happened. And like, these are the ones that we actually ended up like cutting. Right. So yeah.
What was that process like?
I love it. I absolutely love the recording process. it's meticulous. And like, you just go over things again and again and again and again. It's cool. It's really cool to see what it turns into from when you start to when it's finished.
With these songs that you recorded that you want to put out in the next little while, is there a theme to the album? Like, do all the songs make sense? Because some albums you look at it and it's a series of singles that a band will put together, and then with some, it's like, well, there's a running theme that goes through the album. So that goes with how we actually release the song and what order on the album, because if song, you got to have this song follow that song, or it's not going to make any sense in your brain.
Well, I think a lot of this cluster of songs has a great deal to do with the personal relationships of the members within the band. And we recently, like through the writing of this album, it was a decision that was made by our drummer of 10 years that he's leaving the band and he's moving out east. And that's happening now. And we've got another guy that's coming in. We're still going to keep going, but a lot of it had to do with that, about this big step of moving on from one member to another. It happens, right? People got to live their lives.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Everyone has, there's always change. If you don't have change.
And if we ever go out east, we're definitely going to have him as our drummer.
You know, well, once you've been with someone for that length of time, they're family, right? So. That's how life works. What is the single that you have out now?
Right now we actually have 3 EPs that are out right now. So Doomed, the last one that we just released is called Borrowed Time. We released a little while ago, and Lend a Hand is the next one that's coming out. And we released Change It. That's another good one that's out there. These are all on Spotify, and there's videos for them on YouTube.
So you were releasing just a series of singles then?
Yeah, singles, but yeah. These songs are also on EPs, like full EPs that were released as well.
Going back to like 2014 or like 2016, that era?
Around there, just previous to COVID.
Previous COVID, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think in 2020, we released, I think it was 2020 or 2019, we released a single called Same Again, which there's a video for.
That would have been 2021 from what I remember from reading. That's right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
What was the reception on Same Again and Change It when you released those two?
It was fun. We played a whole bunch of gigs and we had a lot of love in the... like in our social media world and stuff from it. It was fun. Right. It was a fun little wave to ride.
Have you guys, based on the area that you're in and the style of music that you've done, did you get any sort of like radio mentions or play? And did you ever release to campus radio across Canada?
We were played on some satellite radio throughout the States.
Oh, okay.
And some college radio, underground college radio. And we also get some radio play from a radio station up in Orillia as well.
Orillia is pushing you, really?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
I always like hearing about markets like that. Because sometimes, you know, major market stations, of course, you have to have a radio plugger. There's only so many ads that they do in regards to playing music. But I always like it when there's like markets like Aurelia, like smaller markets like that, where they'll just go, we like this song and we're going to play it.
And they like to play local, local artists as well, right? It's kind of like a support local thing.
And I firmly believe that's what the way it always should be. I mean, it's changed so much because radio station conglomerates, they buy up, and they do the programming for other parts of Canada. Like even here in Canada, like most of the stations where we're at in the Southern Ontario market, the programming's done by one person out of Ottawa.
Yeah.
And so to me, it's like, well, what would they know about Aurelia, what they would like, you know? And it's just like...
Yeah, well, this particular station is 89.1 Max FM. They started just like a few years ago, but they've gotten pretty popular.
That's cool. I'm glad that they're supporting you guys, man. That's really that's sharp.
And Nish Radio on Georgina Island, they were the first station to play us. The First Nation station on Georgina Island. They're great. Hi, this is Dan from the Carl Rundown Band, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
You always said that it's wrong. Now you can't wait to get some. We hope you learned your lesson. 'Cause it hasn't even been that long. But when you see yourself in the mirror tomorrow, try not to remember what day it is. 'Cause it'll just bring back the fact that you want your by the end of the night. Just go ahead, I won't fight. Guess I'm just trying to be polite. But when you see yourself in the mirror tomorrow,
the next artist I had a chat with is also performing at Gustapalooza. Can you see a theme here? I was interviewing a lot of people from Gustapalooza, which I referred to earlier on in the show. It's Nelson Sobral. This was, I think, our second or third time trying to hitch up on the old pre-recorded Zoom. Fun chat with this dude. Gives us some insight of Toronto in a certain era of time in his past where he was
performing at 1 till 6 o'clock in the morning as an open mic and learning a whole lot of, from other musicians around town and playing and moving forward as a musician. Good music. Google them up. Go to Gutsapalooza and go check them out. Here's the chat.
You're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. Thanks for tuning in and listening to the show. My special guest right now is Nelson Sobral. This is our 57th time trying to do this interview. It's horrible. We're both very, very bad at Zoom connections, and but that's fine though, because
I just like the number 57. So
okay, it gives me the opportunity. And I'm just full disclosure, everyone. Just as we were just chatting before we started the interview. As he chimed in on Zoom, I almost shushed him because I was listening, and that was legit because I don't know about you, Nelson, but when I start listening to someone's music, I go, oh, well, this is, you know, I like what they're doing here, but how do they get to here? So then I go back and I start listening to the artist's previous stuff. I'm like going, oh, well, what is, wait, what? And then in my mind,
it was death metal before. Now it's country.
Yeah, Nelson, that's legit. Like some of that stuff. Yeah, that is legit. 90. That's a legit 90s thing where there was just like bands that were like not very good in pop music. Went, oh, there's a whole other medium in country and Christian music. I can make this much more money. It's the same music. That's a legit statement. Yeah. But I was listening to your stuff, and in Second Arrow, the latest album, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Motown. It's got soul. It's got all these fun things to it. Yeah. And then I went, well, how did he get to here? So then I went back, and I'm like, oh, here we got some country, we got some folk, we got Americana. Mm-hmm. And then but I'm trying to figure out whether you were always like that before. Did you have bits of soul in you before that I just don't know about other albums?
I'm a soul man through and through. Like my mom raised me a healthy dose of it. Like Otis Redding's my favorite singer of all time, across all genres. Right. So Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding, Aretha, you know, all the old soul stuff like Stax, Volts, Motown. That's my bread and butter, and a really healthy dose of blues. I was a big blues like junkie for a long time. So that's what I was raised on, and early rock and roll. You know, my mom would wake us up with, like, there was a radio station in Toronto called Toronto Chum AM.
I remember that.
And all they played was 50s and 60s and early 70s stuff. That's all they would play, and that would be like what I'd wake up to every morning for school, because she put it on and she'd blast it, like, get us going, wake up, get ready for school. So like that half an hour, 45 minutes getting ready for school, it'd be like, you know, Tom Jones, Elvis Presley, the Beatles, you know, maybe some Otis, maybe some Aretha, some Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, you know, and it would just like go. And then you'd go to school and you'd hear whatever. You'd hear metal, or you'd hear like what your buddies were listening to, or, you know, the pop music of the day. And, you know, that got in there as well. But like, you cannot, you know, deny the music you're raised on. Like, that's just in the DNA. So I've always been a soul man, to answer your question. Yeah.
Were your parents, your mother played the station, obviously, the Chum AM version. But were your parents, like, did you jump into like actually playing music because of your parents, because of that earliness of listening to that type of music?
I was just music fanatic. Like, apparently, the legend goes, the first word out of my mouth was baby, because I was trying to sing along with records, and it's like one of the most used words, right? It's baby, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. So I was trying to say sing along, but no one in my family plays music or is musical to my knowledge. There might be like an uncle here and there that played harmonica or something. That was what I heard, but no one in my immediate family. My mom, music junkie. She met the Beatles when she was like 16. She won some contest off of Chum. And she got to meet them backstage at Maple Leaf Gardens. No pictures, because unfortunately no cameras.
Right.
That she had the ability to own. Anyways, I'm sure someone had a camera, but she was too dirt poor to have a camera. But it was just like, that's all I've ever loved, was like music and superheroes and martial arts and stuff like that. Like, you know, that kind of pop entertainment growing up.
So you give us a background of like some of the pop culture that influenced you, that things you enjoyed, but you're from the Toronto area. And when did you actually start getting out and playing, like, okay, this is what I like? Because that's tough, trying to figure out what you like, the whole, like, are you good at it, the passion? Is this who
I am? Yeah, especially pre-internet, right? Like, you got no, like, how do you connect with other people? You know, like, it's ads in Now Magazine, or a friend of a friend knows a friend who knows a friend that might play drums. You know what right. I mean? Like, and, you know, you travel halfway across the city to play with them, and they're either terrible or funny or great. And you know, maybe you connect, or you, like, it, you know, it was just so crazy. But I remember being out playing when I was like, you know, 17, 18, just hitting bars and clubs, and, you know, some of the worst places, some of the best places.
Right.
And I did that for a long time. And then I fell into this, like, I kind of just fell into the role of, like, the musical leader of a underground after hours called the Groovy Community. And later became the Comfort Zone of Lore in Toronto. We were operated underneath Pizza Gigi's in Toronto, which in the past couple of years got busted for upon delivery of the pizza, you'd also get drugs with the delivery, which is now completely normal.
Right.
But, you know, back then, you know, it wasn't. But we were downstairs underground. It was like this massive, like, 7 day a week after hours club that I kind of accepted the job, and I just was there all night, and I would play. So we would go from 2 a.m. to 8 a.m., and it was kind of like a trial by fire. Like, I just had to, like, I was up there the whole night playing guitar, not really that great, and I would be, like, coordinating jams, and, like, people would walk in, like, from reputable Toronto bands or just finish their gigs, and they'd show up at this after hours, and, man, you could get up on stage and play. So it would be, like, some of the hottest players in the city, just jamming on whatever. Or, like, you know, I remember Lenny Kravitz toured through town, and some members of his band came in. They jumped on stage, Jeff Healey's band, Tom Cochran's band, like, different people would jump in and just be up on stage. And you'd look over, and there'd be, like, you know, somebody new on keyboards, and they were amazing. And you're, like, trying to, like, have this massive jam in this, basically a hellhole of a booze can.
Right.
There was only one exit, so it was a fire trap. And we eventually got busted by the cops, but it was an amazing experience. And I really learned a lot about playing live in that atmosphere. Bikers, hippies, you know, druggies, whatever, straight-laced people, frat boys, mm-hmm. and learning how to play to that.
Yeah, but the caliber of the people that are dropping by, and you being 17, 18, 19, that young, there's that whole, like, thinking on your feet and just and the amount of learning that you just said. Like, I mean, that what to me, you know, we romanticize it, but that's a kind of a solid life experience to deal with people later on.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and even growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, like, in Parkdale, it's like, you know, I know the Hammer. The Hammer's a colorful city. You got to get used to people and different people and how to deal with different situations. Sometimes exciting, sometimes dangerous, you know, and all those things, I think, create more interesting people and situations, right? You have to adapt. And in that, you become wiser, faster, right? Like, inside there, like, I remember just being able to play blues guitar, really, like, a very rudimentary blues guitar, like E, A, B, you know, some licks and stuff. And then by the end of that, like, I kind of knew how to play guitar after that run of that booze can. I kind of had developed all the skills that I still use to this day. Just thinking on my feet and being like, I'm up here with, you know, the keyboard player from Tom Cochran's band, and he's amazing. And I have to figure out a way to keep up, or, you know, and of course a million times I fell on my face and sucked hard and bit it and, like, never wanted to play again. But those experiences are what make you better.
Sometimes
So obviously in that time period, as a young man, you're in the booze can, you're playing with all these different people, different walks of life, of course. At what point later on do you make the switch? Because I'm assuming at that time that you're still learning. It's not like you're going to be whipping out, hey, here's a song I just wrote. Because there's a point where people, where you cover other people's material, and then you start learning about how to write something.
So for me, when I started playing, just because I didn't know what I was doing, I didn't have a formal education on guitar. Unfortunately or fortunately, whatever way you want to look at it, I kind of always wrote my own songs. Because I would just like put my fingers on spots and be like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. And I would just write a song, like whatever, lovey-dovey stuff that you write when you're a kid. And I always wrote songs. But I was never like, I never wanted to be like the singer and the leader of the band. I always wanted to be Jimmy Page, not Robert Plant. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be Keith Richards, not Mick Jagger. It felt like too much pressure to be Mick Jagger. Keith and Jimmy just seemed the coolest. They were, but then you have a guy like Jimi Hendrix. And Jimmy, to me, when I was growing up, I didn't understand the impact on guitar he had. He was just, to me, he was like so cool. He sang so cool. His songs were so cool. His whole thing was, I didn't understand how important his guitar playing was, because it was the music first for me, right? And he just seemed like this cool cat. He played guitar, he sang. And then as I grew older and I was like, oh yeah, this guy changed the game, And I subsequently got Voodoo Child tattooed on my arm.
Oh, you the Zoom folks, it's radio, but he just showed me this massive tattoo on his arm.
Resonates, yeah, for sure. I never wanted to be the singer. So it was kind of like I'd be in bands, I'd form bands, and I wrote the songs, but I'd always get somebody else to sing them, like a lead singer type person or, someone else. And then it's just one of those things. Eventually, you just like enough people tell you, like, dude, just you sing it. You know what I mean? And then there comes a time where you get a little bit confident. Sorry to cut you off. You get a little bit confident. And you just start doing the thing, and I feel pretty good about my voice now. And
did you play with other people before you started doing your solo stuff? Like, who else have you been playing with since you've been putting out your solo albums?
So I was in a band, a really good rock band called the Celebration Army a while back, and then I've been like I also play with another Hamilton native called Matty Leon. Mm-hmm. Originally a Toronto boy, but now him and his brother live in the Hammer, and I still play with them. I play bass in their band. They are a trio, and I sing backups with them. And we just recorded a new record for him where I play bass and guitar all over it and sing backups. And we worked with Mark Howard.
Mark Howard, that's right. I read that earlier. Yeah.
Which was, an unbelievable experience all the way around, not just because of Mark, but just the experience itself was, it's one of those things you read about, like, it's like we were away for 8 days in a cabin in the woods, just us, wake up, have coffee, record all day, make music all day, have dinner together, rinse, repeat, the stories that you're hearing from Mark, you're never going to be in that situation where you're hearing him drop a story about Robert Plant or Bob Dylan or Neil Young or Tom Waits. It's just like, and without no ego and no like, no pretense, just like, this is his life. And he was just like, tell these cool stories. And you're like, oh my God. Yeah. That's an amazing Bob Dylan story.
I think that when you hear things like that about other musicians, how they started through another person, a reputable person, to me, the education never ends for Nelson, because if you're 17, 18, 19, and you're playing in a booze can from 2 till 6 in the morning, all the time with everyone, you're learning all that one end of it. And then you're learning about all these other end of things and how people did things in the studio and wrote things. So you're a very lucky dude.
I am. Absolutely. You know? I'm grateful, like, every day. Yeah, I have a beautiful family, and everything's, I'm every day grateful. It could be a billion, million times worse.
It could be said about all of us, but I'm very happy for you. Hey, if you're just tuning in to Steel City Music, I'm your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith. My special guest right now is Nelson Sobrell, and we're just having a quick chat about his new album, Second Arrow. And tell me about some of the tracks on this, because when I was doing some reading And this is when we first started talking, you know, there's always this Americana thing that kind of goes through you. And I think I've actually spun your music before on a segment that I did a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, with a friend of mine, Heather Valley, here out of Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
Called Americana Cool. And I'm pretty sure if I go back, we'll probably find one of your tracks. Awesome. So I think that's why I was trying to figure out where you were being positioned in my brain on what style of music you were, because I was always hearing a little bit of country picking, I was hearing a little bit of folk, and then the Americana thing, and then the whole soul Motown thing kind of threw me for a loop there. So
it's funny, man. It's just all rock and roll, you know,
right?
For lack of a better word. If I was like the Stones, put out records like that all the time in the 70s. You know, there's gospel on there and soul and bluesy stuff and folky stuff. Like Exile on Main Street has all those things on one album, you know, a double album, mind you, but you know, all those things are there. But I get it. People need to, you know, as rock and roll morphs and changes through the years, you know, you can't really call it rock and roll anymore, because now it's hard rock or soft rock or rock metal and pop rock. So I get the Americana handle and I dig it. It's cool, but I'll use it and I respect it. But I, you know, to me, it's just rock and roll. You only love me when I'm on my knees. You made me feel like I was 17. Took me so long to know what I need. You went and took it all from me. And they say good love.
I guess that's what we should be just looking at you as with Second Arrow, because I was hearing all of this, some of this stuff, more of a ballady somber on your last album. You know, I was hearing stuff like that. So
something interesting about that was I was trying to be more singer songwritery at that time. I was kind of like denying this like soulful blues shouting thing that comes so naturally. I'm like, oh, it's not, this is all subconsciously, mind you. It's like, I'm like, oh, this is not, deep enough or showing off my songwriter skills enough. I must go more deeper and folky and not soul shout. And then I was, you know, so I did. And I have no regrets about it, because it actually catapulted me the opposite way, where I'm like, well, it's if it's what I'm naturally doing, why fight it? And it is soulful and deep and in its own way. It's just, you know.
But you have examples of that on the new album. I mean, as far as Tearjerkers, it's Raining in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know,
written in Nashville on a rainy day.
Oh, look at you. You just need to title
it. It was that simple. I was in Nashville with a buddy. We were, doing the Bluebird and doing all the things, all the singer-songwriter things, playing gigs. And it was raining one day. We couldn't go out. Like two kids. We were like, oh, we can't go outside. And it was raining. And it was just the first lyric that came out. It's raining in Nashville. And the song wrote itself. And, my wife wasn't with me. So kind of like an ode to her.
Right.
Missing the one you love. Yeah. And that was it. I wrote that one there. And in the middle of the night, I wrote there in Nashville as well.
Tell me about Honeybee. Because when I read the title Honeybee, I immediately think Tom Petty's track Honeybee right away. I'm just like, oh, honey, I wonder if it has anything like that.
Great song. I think of Muddy Waters, Honeybee.
Oh, okay. All right. That's the
one. Yeah, different reference. And I've written a song called Honeybee back in the day when I was much younger, and I remember it being pretty cool. But it was just the first lyric that came out, and it was like it's like a playful ode to my wife and son, like, you come to me like a sweet honeybee. And it just kind of seemed like a children's song, a playful kind of like nothing heavy. I wanted to use like animals and weird things. And it just kind of stuck as it being honeybee. And I don't know. It was like, it just came out as like almost like a old school country song. And and I put a visual on it.
Yeah. Is there any point when you're writing a song, now that we're talking about some of this stuff now, getting into it, that you'll write a song a certain way, and then you just, if you can give us an example of one of the tunes off of If This Happened on Second Era, where you look at a song and go, okay, here's the song, you play it, and then you go, that's not how it should go. Like, that's not, like, this doesn't, like, this doesn't sound like what I was thinking.
You're in my head?
Yeah, like this is, can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, Honeybee was like that. I predominantly play most of the instruments on the album, save for like fiddle. I don't play much piano, and the horns, of course, I don't play.
Right.
But that song I had played originally electric bass, like just normal straight up rock bass. And man, it was close, but I was like, it's just not happening. And then I have a buddy of mine who he played upright bass with me and fiddle. I know him from like the scene, and he's a fantastic like fiddle player, and he plays upright. And as soon as I thought of him, it was like, that's what it needs. It needs like a sloppy drunk kind of like bass line on it, like the Wood Brothers or something like that, where it sounds like some dude trying to make it through a bar, but he's half in the bag. Boom, boom, boom. Like that kind of sound to it. And as soon as I, I sent him the track, and he's like a wunderkind of music. Like it was probably like a joke to him, because he plays like this like really complex Appalachian music and like really difficult polkas and waltzes and stuff. So this is like a song with three chords, and he was like, oh yeah, this simple thing. And he played it. I'm like, just imagine it's a drunk guy trying to get up the stairs at a bar. Play it that way. And he sent it back to me, and I was like, oh, that's it. That's as soon as he put that on there, because it had the kazoo on it already, it had all the back vocals, it was like, it's so close, man, but this, something's missing. And I, like, as soon as I thought it needed to be drunker, really. And and he played that upright bass on it, and that was the track. For a lot of other songs, like, it's more, sometimes it's like taking stuff out that's in the way of the picture, like stripping it, or like just leaving that original guitar track you did on it. It's fine, man. Like, or the original vocal or the original guitar solo. Cause sometimes you try to recreate stuff that you did on the first take, and it's like, that doesn't feel like it. The feel.
Yeah. You come to me like a sweet honeybee buzzing. Inching its way to
Second Arrow, how long has this album been out for?
Since March. So not so, too long. Yeah, but I put out singles beforehand from it.
Right. Okay. So you've been working this just a little while, right?
Yeah.
And so where does that leave you now? I mean, you put your a video out.
You'll do
a little bit more of this, but where does this put you now? Because you're like, okay, you know, I'm doing the press thing, I'm releasing the singles, I have some shows coming up, of which where are you playing? Gasapalooza. Yeah. What date do you know?
It's on the Friday night at 9:30 PM.
Yeah. Oh, the 16, 17, 18. Okay. So you have a couple shows coming up. Where does that leave you now? Because we've had the chat. You said, okay, well, this song was kind of, I was missing my wife, and of course you have a child, and you have a child and a wife, and you know, here's this album, right?
Yeah.
So where do we do now when we get into like 2023? Are we able to put out another album?
Absolutely. There's like two albums worth of stuff in the can. You know, like many artists, I'm sure the lockdown stuff, you know, I was just like, this is before baby, right? So I was just like writing songs all the time and demoing them, recording them. And so I have a backlog of those, and then, you know, another log of songs I've written since. So right now, the plan is to, at the end of the year, because right now we have, you know, I have a bunch of, I opened up a gym in the city as well. I own my own martial arts gym that we teach Brazilian jiu-jitsu and Thai boxing and stuff. So I've been kind of working on that and having it open to the public, as well as playing live and playing. I also do a lot of cover gigs, and you know, that brings in a lot of bread and all that. And then we're going to Japan at the end of the year, me and the wife, to for our son to meet his grandparents. My wife's Japanese.
Very cool. Yeah.
So I mean, there's a lot going on. Like it's crazy. Like like you listen to your favorite artist, you're like, why is it taking them so long to put out another record? And you're like, and then you're in the middle of it. You're like, oh yeah, well I got this to do and that to do and March, and now it's end of the year, right? So it happens fast, right? But I do have like a whole album ready to go. I just, when we go to Japan, we come back, she's going to stay there a little bit longer. So my plan is at the end of the year, when I come back by myself, is just to get focused on the work and just clear out all the tracks, flush them out, get them mixed, and get them out. So early next year, have a new album out.
Cool. Hey, man, thanks for having the chat with us on Steel City Music.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate you and all that you do.
Well, thank you, sir. Have a good show at Gasapalooza. But first, tell us where we can find you online. Where do we go?
You just go to the website, nelsonsobralmusic.com, and from there you can jump off to anything like that you need. You know, your Instagram, your Facebook, Spotify, whatever. It's all there.
Okay.
So nice jumping off.
Yeah, and I'm just going to leave this here for, and not for you to respond, maybe, but I'm probably going to cut it out when you do respond. Because when I did my little reading, I thought, what a horrible thing to say about someone on their website is like, Nelson has been referred to as the godfather of Toronto music.
No.
Nelson Sobral Music.
It's not about the relevance of the age thing. That doesn't bother me. It's just like, that's a big, bold statement to make, and I don't think it's relevant. But my friend Blair made it.
Yeah.
And because I used to host like one of the biggest open mics in the city.
Yeah.
And through that, a lot of bands came out and formed and so was. So I think that's what he was referring to. But it's a bold statement to make in a city this vast.
I was dying laughing just because it's just I wouldn't want anyone to put that moniker on me. Who did, like, buddy, don't say that. Now everyone's going to think that like I'm the guy when I'm not the guy. I'm the guy that did.
One of the guys.
I'm like one of thousands of people, but I'm the guy that was like 17 at a booze can. I'm that guy.
I'm one of the guys.
Hey, Nelson, thanks for the chat.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the laugh, brother. Thanks for the chat. All the best to you. Hey, this is Nelson Sobral, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Well, that's why. in the middle of the night. On the sly, and at time feels good, and it's just you and me. I don't mind.
Steel City Music.
Only two roads out of this town. Break free or they'll break you down. Did the blood stain your crown when you carried us away?